Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Ayin Gimel, and we are at the very top line of daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph Ve'Elo HaDetanya. Today's daf has been learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf's also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Ruchama Rivka Bas Rachel. So yesterday, 7.5 years ago, we learned the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph that discussed the infamous Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Hadarim Be'erachas. Mishnah said as follows: Shnayim Shahoyim Be'erachas. If there were two people that lived in the same city, Shem Echad Yosef ben Shimon. One of these two people's name was Yosef ben Shimon, the Shem Acha Yosef ben Shimon, and the other person's name was also Yosef ben Shimon. So they have a unique Shulchan Aruch. Number one, Ein Yecholim Lahoitzi Shtar Choyv Zeh Al Zeh. Yosef ben Shimon cannot pull out a Shtar Choyv that says that the other Yosef ben Shimon owes him money. And the reason is because how do you know which Yosef ben Shimon owes which Yosef ben Shimon money? Is the Yosef ben Shimon that's holding the shtar the malva? Thus, the other Yosef ben Shimon, in fact, owes him money? Or maybe this Yosef ben Shimon is really the loiva, where he had borrowed money, but paid it, and now received that shtar chayv in return. It's for that reason, ein yecholim lahoitzi shtar chayv zeh al zeh. Additionally, v'loy achar yochol lahoitzi aleihem shtar chayv. No one can collect money from any one of the Yosef ben Shimons, even if they're holding a shtar. Because if somebody would go over to one of the Yosef ben Shimons and say, I have a shtar that says you owe me money, he could always point to the other Yosef ben Shimon and says, you have the wrong guy. It's true, Yosef ben Shimon owes you money, but it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. Another halacha, nimtza le'echad bein shtoy Yosef. Shtarish al Yosef ben Shimon Parua. What would be if somebody has amongst his shtarish the following document? It says that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is paid. So the halach is shtarish neyem peruim. In the event that he has outstanding loans with both Yosef ben Shimons, both of them would be assumed to be paid, because being that we don't know which one is paid, misafik, you'd never be able to collect. But the bottom line is, the Mishnah mentioned a few rules that relate very uniquely to the Shnei Yosef ben Shimon. Kesed Yasu. So the Mishnah said, what should two Yosef ben Shimon Hadorim Birachases do in the event that they have to engage in different business transactions? Yishaleshu. What they should do is that when they sign documents, they shouldn't just write Yosef ben Shimon, but they should write the Zayda's name also. So like this, it'll be Yosef ben Shimon, ben Yaakov, or whatever it is, that will be able to now differentiate between these two chevra. Let's say even the Zayda's name is the same. Yichtavu Simon. What they should do is they should make a Simon. But the point is, just use your fifth Shulchan Aruch and try to figure out a way to be able to differentiate between these two chevra, because otherwise the two Yosef and Shimons are going to end up having a problem. Either way, so the Mishnah mentions this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of the Shnei Yosef and Shimon Hadarim Berachas. And then the Gemara, this was really the second part of yesterday's daf, went into an immediate digression, a very fundamental question, and that is Chayshinan L'Nefila or Loi Chayshinan L'Nefila? Meaning, if somebody's holding a document, are we certain that if this person's holding the document, it must be his document? Or are we chayshin in the nefila? We assume that maybe this document really belonged to somebody else. That person dropped it. The person holding it now found it, and as a result, he's not really the owner of this document. How did we get into that? So the Gemara told a story. There was a shtar that was circulating in the Bezdin of Rav Huna, Davakosav Bey. It said, Ani ploini bar ploini, lovisi mona mimcha. So it said that I, ploini ben ploini, had borrowed money from you. And the question was, who is this you? Now this person walks into Bezdin, he's holding a shtar, suggesting that he is the beneficiary of this document. Now it didn't say his name in it, but the fact that he was holding on to it gave some credibility to his argument, stating that Rav Huna Paskin, Lav dafka. Just because you're holding it doesn't necessarily mean it's yours, because mimcha kamin afilu me reish galusa, afilu mishvar malka. The bottom line is that just because you're holding a document doesn't necessarily mean that you're the beneficiary of the document. Because we're concerned that maybe someone else had it. It fell from that person. You found it, and as a result, you now want to claim it's yours. And it's for that reason, Rav Huna Paskin, that this person would not be able to benefit from the shtar. Now, what does this have to do with our sugya? Because the Gemara said that Rabbi questioned and contested and dissented to Rav Huna's psak. Because he felt that from our Mishnah, there's a raya that loy chay shinu l'nefila. What was his raya? Because when the Mishnah goes through the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of the Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Adarim Berachas, so what does it say? It says that one Yosef ben Shimon can never be moitzi yishtar choyv on the other Yosef ben Shimon. Additionally, it said that if somebody has a shtar choyv that says Yosef ben Shimon owes him money, you can never collect from Yosef ben Shimon. You know what the Mishnah doesn't say? You know what's very, very noticeably omitted from the Mishnah, said Rabbah? What would be if Yosef and Shimon has a shtar that says that somebody else owes him money? Sounds like he can go over to the loiva in the shtar and collect from him. Why? Let the loiva say that I don't owe money to you, I owe money to the other Yosef and Shimon. I owe it to you. The Teretz is because he's holding on to the shtar. But says Rabbi, if you're going to tell me chayshin alunafilo, then maybe really the other Yosef ben Shimon was the Baal HaShtar. He dropped it. This Yosef ben Shimon found it. And that's why he's walking around with it. Oh, what do you see from here? That we're not chayish. So Rabbi questioned Rav Huna's psak. He said, you're telling me chayshin alunafilo from the Mishnah of the Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Adarim Berachas. Diuk in this Mishnah, a very profound diuk in this Mishnah. I think you see that when Achayas Lunafilo, so the Gemara said that Abaye defended Rav Huna Psak, and Abaye said that no, it's true, you see from the Mishnah, Loi Chayshina Lunafilo. Rav Huna is correct when he said Chayshina Lunafilo. What does it depend on? There's two dinim when it comes to Chayshina Lunafilo. Lunafilo dechad, Loi Chayshinon, Lunafilo de Rabim Chayshinon. If somebody has a shtar that says, Ani ploini bar ploini, lovisi mona mimcha. That mimcha could be anybody in the world. So, Chayshina Lunafilo, then maybe one person had it, dropped it, another person found it, picked it up. It's very possible, from all the billions of people in the world, it's very possible that one of them dropped it, another one of them found it, and now is claiming to be the beneficiary of it. In the case of Shnei Yosef and Shimon Adarim Berachas, if you're going to be Chayish Lenefilo, just think about what you need to be concerned for. You need to be concerned that from the entire shtot, punked, one of the Yosef and Shimon's had the shtar, dropped it, and punk, the other Yosef ben Shimon found it. Now, from a statistical perspective, we're pushing our luck a little bit. So it says, Abaya, it's true. You see from the Mishnah, Loi Chayshina Linafila. But what you see from the Mishnah is that Linafila Dechad Loi Chayshina. But as it relates to Nefila De Rabin, there the statistical chances of a Nefila are much more likely. And there Rav Huna issued his great psak with that shtara that was nothing but being a Rav Huna, that really Chayshina Linafila. Either way, so what came out from Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Amid Beis? As it relates to the segue of Daf Kuf Ayin Gimel, that Abaya holds that Chayshinon Linefila, but only when it's Nefila de Rabin. But when it's Nefila de Chad, it's Poshet in Svara that Loi Chayshinon, says the Gemara. If that is in fact the case, this time we went to the Braisa, top line of Kuf Ayin Gimel Amad Aleph, Kshench Amitzin Shtar Chayv Zalzeh, Kach Ein Moitzi En Alach Eirim. So the Braisa was like our Mishnah discussing the laws of the Shnei Yosef and Shimon Adar Mirachas. And the Braisa says that just like if there's two Yosef and Shimon, one can't pull out a Shtar Chayv against the other, right? Because how do I know that you owe me money? Maybe I owe you money. So too, Ein Moitzi En Alach Eirim. If someone is a Yosef and Shimon, and he has a shtar that says that he loaned money to someone, he'd never be able to collect the money. And the reason he'd never be able to collect the money is because the person, the loiva, could always say, I don't owe it to you, I owe it to the other guy. Now, just to hit the pause button for a nanosecond, this braisa is clearly at odds with our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah, that was the great diuk that Rabbi made in yesterday's daf, is very, very mashma, that a Yosef ben Shimon could be moitzi shtar choyv al acher, right? That's the one halacha regarding the Shnei Yosef ben Shimon's and Hilchos Shtaros that was seemingly purposely omitted from the Mishnah. The Braisa steht faket. The Braisa says, without a question, ein moitzi an alakhe. The question, however, is, what's the Hezber HaMachloikis? And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara is as follows. That Bishloimah, had we not had Abaya in yesterday's daf, so you would say, you know what the machloikis is? They're arguing whether chayshina l'nefila, aloi chayshina l'nefila. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that loy chayshina l'nefila, and the Tana this Braisa holds chayshina l'nefila. But now that Abaya laid down the law of the land, and he said that when it comes to nefila d'chad, no one holds chayshina l'nefila. So what's pshat in the Braisa? Why would it be that ein moitzi en alacherim yinachayish l'nefila? So he has the shtar. So what's the question? Of course, the person owes him money. Or b'milam acherim b'maykom miflugi. What is the hezbra machloikis? And you can't again tell me the machloikis is whether chayshina l'nefila, loy chayshina l'nefila, because Abaya said, in such an instance, nobody holds chayshin and lefilo. So what is the machloikis? So the Gemara is going to offer two possibilities. Number one, ba'oisiyas niknis b'mesira kamifli. You want to know what the machloikis is? Oisiyas niknis b'mesira. This is the second time this week that we have the sugya of oisiyas niknis b'mesira. Again, what does oisiyas niknis b'mesira mean? If somebody has a shtar that says that somebody owes him money, and then he gives that shtar to somebody else, that person, b'mesiras ashtar, is he koina the contents of the shtar or not? If you hold oisiyas niknis b'mesira, then handing over a piece of paper that entitles you the money to somebody else will now entitle that person to the money. If you hold oisiyas ein niknis b'mesira, then if you hand over a piece of paper to somebody, the only thing that person's going to acquire is the paper. Lotzer al pitzul chisay. But as it relates to all the toichen of the paper, that already is not going to get. So says the Gemara, this groisa machloikis, oisiyas niknis b'mesira, Shimon Gamliel earlier in the week, right? This major machloikis is what's going on between these two braises. Tanav didan sova, the Tanav are Mishnah holds oisnius niknis b'mesira. The Tanav bara sova, whereas the Tanav the braise holds ein oisnius niknis b'mesira. In other words, says the Gemara, the reason the Tanav the braise holds that shnei Yosef and Shimon adarim birachas ein moitzien al acherim is not because chayshina l'nefila, because l'nefila d'chadloi chayshina. It's for something else. Because we're concerned that maybe the reason this Yosef and Shimon is holding on to this shtar is because the other Yosef and Shimon asked him to hold it for him, or he gave it to him. Now, if you would hold oisiyas niknis b'mesira, then when he gave it to him, he would actually acquire it. And being that he would actually acquire it, so he would have a right to collect. But if you hold that ein oisiyas niknis b'mesira, then when he gave it to him, it didn't make him the owner of it. And if it didn't make him the owner of it, so now he has no right to collect. So, says the Gemara, this is a little bit nuanced. The Tana, the Mishnah holds that oisiyas niknis b'mesira. Being that oisiyas niknis b'mesira, if you have a Yosef and Shimon that pulls out a shtar that says somebody owes him money, he can collect the money. Why? The shtar says that he's owed money. Maybe the other Yosef and Shimon is really the one who's owed the money. He dropped it and you found it. Abaya said, "Linefila dechad loy chayshina." Okay, maybe he gave it to you, the other Yosef and Shimon. Guess what? If he gave it to me, oisiyas niknis b'mesira, then I acquired it, and it's for that reason I can get it. Whereas the Tana, the Braisa holds ein oisiyas niknis b'mesira. So it's true you have the shtar, and it's true and not chayshina linefila. But you know what we are chayish for? We're chayish that maybe he gave it to you, and being that oisiyas are not niknis b'mesira, it's for that reason you wouldn't be able to collect. Yibay say the Gemara says the kulam oisiyas niknis b'mesira. Maybe everybody holds oisiyas niknis b'mesira, and the Rashbam says that this yibay seima is a very good yibay seima, because we paskin oisiyas niknis b'mesira. So it's geschmack not to say that really it's machloikis between the Tan of our Mishnah and the Braisa, whether no, because being that everybody holds halacha oisiyas niknis b'mesira, so it's more geschmack to make the Braisa work halacha. But the bottom line is maybe everybody holds oisiyas niknis b'mesira v'hacha b'tzarech l'havi rayukam ifluki. The machloikis over here between the Tan of the Mishnah and the Tan of the Braisa is, if you're holding on to a shtar that says that somebody owes somebody else money, can you now walk into Bezin and say that that person owes me money? I mechatesi, I have a shtar. But the shtar says he owes somebody else money, right? So you have a shtar that says Reuven owes Shimon money. Levi's holding on to the shtar. If Oisius is niknis b'mesira, so the shtar that says that Reuven owes Shimon money, if Shimon gave the shtar to Levi, Levi would have a right to collect from Reuven. Oisius niknis b'mesira, even though the shtar doesn't say that Reuven owes Levi money, but if Shimon gave Levi the shtar, Levi would have the right to go ahead now and to collect. The question, however, is, does he have to bring a raya that he actually acquired the shtar b'mesira, or the fact that he's holding on to the shtar, that's good. Just to explain this a little bit better. Ordinarily, if somebody walks into Bezdin holding on to a shtar, you don't have to bring a raya. The shtar is the shtar. Neyeftukim, shtaris, there are things you have to do, but you don't have to bring a raya that the shtar is in your possession because the shtar is in your possession because it's in your possession. We're never going to question that. But here we would question it potentially because there's something a little suspicious here. There's a little bit of a reisa. The shtar says Reuven owes Shimon money and Levi's walking around with it. And it's because of this, there was a shaila. We'll see, machlokes Abaye v'Rava. If somebody walks into Bezin with a shtar that is really made out to somebody else's name, do you have to bring a raya in order to demonstrate it's yours or not? Says the Gemara, Iba Yisayim, and maybe that's the machlokes between the Tana, the Mishnah, and Tana, the Brais. Has the Tana, the Don Sava, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, Ein Tzarech Lahavi Raya. You don't have to bring any rayas. So it's for that reason, if Yosef and Shimon pulls out a shtar, he can collect money. What are you worried about? You worried about maybe it fell in a field of the Chad, Loi Chai Shinon. Are you saying that maybe it was really the other Yosef and Shimon's, he gave it to this Yosef and Shimon, and even if Oisius nicked this b'mesira, but you should at the very least have to bring a raya that you got it b'mesira, as opposed to him just giving it to you, but not really being machne it to you, the answer is, ain't tzarech lahavi raya. So if ain't tzarech lahavi raya, so he won't have to bring a raya either. And just to say this a drop better, the shaila of Tzarech Lavi Raya, Ain Tzarech Lavi Raya, is where Levi has a shtar that says Reuven owes Shimon money. Shnei Yosef and Shimon's Hadar and Berachas is the equivalent thereof, because even though the names are the same, but the chash is the same, right? In the case where the shtar says Reuven owes Shimon money and Levi's holding it, Mechatesi, Levi got it b'mesira. It's not made out to his name. Narvos, you're going to tell me Shimon gave it to him, but maybe Shimon didn't give it to him. So do you have to bring a raya? Do you not have to bring a raya? In the case of the Shnei Yosef and Shimon's Adar and Berachas, even though it's made out to the name of the guy that's holding on to the shtar, but maybe it was really the other person's and that person gave it to this person, meaning one Yosef and Shimon gave it to the other Yosef and Shimon. If you hold that where the shtar is made out to Shimon, Levi doesn't have to bring a raya, then so too, if the shtar is made out to one Yosef and Shimon, he wouldn't have to bring a raya that really he got it from Mesira from the other Yosef and Shimon. It's the same fundamental question. For an Oisius Nictus from Mesira to work, do you have to bring a raya or do you not have to bring a raya? But either way, our Tana holds, Ain Tzarech Lahavi Raya. The Tana Baruch of the Tana, the Brisa holds, Tzarech Lahavi Raya, that no, he would have to bring a raya, and it's for that reason, unless he brings a raya, Ain Moitzi and Alachem. If he brings a raya, he brings a raya. But unless he brings a raya, Ain Moitzi and Alachem. See, either the Tana of the Brisa holds Oisius a nicknes b'mesira, or the time that the Brisa holds that Oisius nicknes b'mesira, but at the same time Tzarech Lavi Raya. But there's no tzad that pshat in the Brisa is because of chayshinu l'nefilo, because like Abaye said l'nefilo d'lad the chad loy chayshinu. So we just mentioned this shiloh, whether if Oisius a nicknes b'mesira, which is the halacha Tzarech Lavi Raya, ain't Tzarech Lavi Raya. We said it's machlokes Abaye v'Rava. The Gemara here is going to bring that machlokes to Itmar. Oisius nicknes b'mesira as it relates to Oisius that a nicknes b'mesira. Abaye, Abaye says Tzarech Lavi Raya. The person at the very least has to bring a raya. V'Rava, Rava says ain't Tzarech Lavi Raya. He doesn't have to bring a raya. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, not me the law. What's my makar that Oisius, which is nicknes b'mesira, but you have to prove that you got it b'mesira. It's based on a brisa. The Tanya Echmanachin Shah Shtar Chayv Yoytzim Tachaz Yodoy. What happened was a man died. He left over an estate. He left over sons. These sons, amongst each other, are referred to as the brothers, right? One of these brothers now pulls out a Shtar Chayv. The Shtar Chayv was really made out to the father, and he's arguing that this Shtar Chayv is his. The raya is, it's in his pocket. What are they saying? No, it's part of the tfusas abayis. It's part of the estate, and it's not yours, it's everybody's. So one of the brothers, shashtar choyv yoytze mitachas yodai, he has the shtar choyv now in his hand, all of lahavi raya, he needs to bring a raya. Where does he have to bring a raya? He has to bring a raya that he actually got the shtar choyv. The question is, why does he have to bring a raya that he actually got this shtar chayv? The fact that he's holding it, that in and of itself should be good, the teretz is, because the shtar chayv is not made out to his name. It's made out to his father's name. Okay, but at the end of the day, he's holding it. And the fact that he's holding it, that's a raya, it's his. And we should assume then that it was handed over to him and Oisius Nictus B'Mesira. Oh, the teretz is, even if you want to go down the Oisius Nictus B'Mesira road, but at the same time, you still have to bring a raya. So Abaye said, have a l'chura, good makar from this braisa, that although Oisius Nictus B'Mesira, there is such an idea, but l'maisa, something a little weird is going on. Thus, all of l'havi raya. Now, The truth is, the case that Abaye is telling to is a very nuanced case. Echon mina achin shashtar choyv yoytze mitachas yodoy. But Abaye said, my love, who wouldn't lach really? I don't think there's anything unique about this case, right? Is there something unique about the balabatishkeit of this case that would make you argue it's only true here, but it's not true for every case? I don't think so. The Rava Omas, Rava says, no, there is something unique about that case. Shani achin deshamtu me'adadi. Brothers live together with each other. They sometimes snatch things from each other, right? There's a little sibling inyan going on over here. So says Rava, it could be when it comes to brothers that live together, just because you're holding on to something. No. Now, if it was made out to your name, okay, but it's not made out to your name. It's made out to the Tata's name. Oisius Nictus Bemesira. Here, I agree, says Rava, you have to bring a right. But maybe in all cases, really, you're not going to have to bring a right. So Abaye had a good brisa, but it's taking and assuming one leap of faith that it's not unique to the story of the brothers. And that's where Rava comes in. Rava says, no, it's only true for the brothers. It's not going to be true in other cases. Some say, on my Rava. It was Rava that brought the raya to his position that ain't tzarach lavi raya from the brisa. Mino amin v'lo. What's my mikar that oisis nictus b'mesira ain't no tzarach lavi raya. The time we learned in this same brisa, ech menachas shtarcha yoytze b'tachas yodoy, all of the havi raya. That if the brother has a shtarcha, he has to bring a raya. So said Rava, achin hu deshamtu me'adadi. So Rava, to the contrary, he comes out swinging and he says it's mashma that davka in the case of the brothers. Right? Why such a funny case? Why the case of the brothers? So I think it's davka by the brothers. To me, Adadi, there you have to bring a rayah. But as it relates to others, no. In other words, in the Ikeda Amri, Rava is the one on offense. Rava says, I think there's a rayah from this braisa to my shita. Why? Because you see from the braisa that the braisa picked a very unique case to tell me the halacha of tzarech lavi rayah. A case in brothers where there's shamtum. Mehadadi. And it sounds like if that were not the case, it would be different. So it's a raya to me, it's a kasha tabai. So in the first Lishna, Abaye is the one bringing a raya. What do you mean? The Brisa says my halacha. In the second Lishna, Rav is the one bringing the raya, because although the Brisa says Abaye is halacha, but it says it dafke in a case where Rav says I'm willing to concede. But the Gemara says, Abaye is going to argue, he's going to say no. The reason we pick the case of Achin, even though according to me it's true in all cases, is because Achin, it's three chalei, there's a bazundere chiddush in Achin. So I would have being that the brothers are always hopping from each other, so to the contrary, this is counterintuitive. Meaning, being that the brothers know who they're dealing with, and they know there's a good chance it's going to be a shamtu me'adadi, and then the other brother will be able to be the brother holding on to the shtar chayv. So what does this person do? He watches it. He does a shmir yaseira. He does a shmir el yoyna. He watches this in a much better way. So I would have thought in this case, faket, you don't have to bring a raya. Kamash malon. That's the raya. That's the chiddush. That's why the braisa picked this case. But the bottom line is, whether or not there's a braisa floating around that would seem to support the tzad all of Lahavi Raya, and one Lishna Abaye actually brought a Raya from there, Rava was Doich, and the other Lishna, counterintuitively, Rava was the one that brought a Raya from there, and it was Abaye that was the one that was Doich. But the bottom line is, as it relates to our Mishnah, the Mishnah is discussing Shnei Yosef and Shimon, Hadarim Berachas, and the Mishnah really mentioned two halachas. It's more than two, but let's just focus on these two. Number one, that's easy, because how do I know if I'm the malva, you're the loiva. Maybe you're the malva and I'm the loiva. Additionally, what was implied from the Mishnah was that Yosef and Shimon himself can pull out a shtar chayv on a third person and collect money. Stating that, the Gemara brought a braisa, the opening words of today's daf, that kishem she'im moitzin shtar chayv ze'alzeh, kach in moitzin alacher. What's the svaras of machloikis? It's not chayshinu l'nefila, right? That we know. What is the machloikis? Oisius nictus b'mesira, or the machloikis abaye v'rova, where oisius is nictus b'mesira, tzarek lavi raya, or ain't tzarek lavi raya. But the Gemara, going along this theme now, is going to bring a third brisa. And this third brisa is really a third opinion as it relates to the laws of Shnei Yosef and Shimon Adar Mirachas. Velo hodetanyo, nocha braiso, k'shem shem moitzi, en hein shtar choy v'alachirin. Just like they could be moitzi, Ushtar choiv al acherin. Whose shita is that? the Shita of the Mishnah, right? It's not the Shita of the Brisa. It's the Shita of the Mishnah. Kach moitzin ze al ze. Wow. So too, they could be moitzin ze al ze. So the first part is the Mishnah. The second part is very much not the Mishnah. So this is a new Brisa, says the Gemara b'Maiko Mifugi. What is the machloikis as it relates to this? Meaning, this Brisa is saying the biggest chiddush l'kula, that Shnei Yosef and Shimins could be moitzin shtar choyv ze al ze. That the Tana, the Mishnah doesn't hold. That the Tana, the Brice on top, certainly doesn't hold. So, b'maikom ifli, what's this machloikis all about? We know what the machloikis is, whether they could be moitzi al acherim. What's the machloikis of whether they could be moitzi zeh zeh? And at first glance, there's no way they should be able to be moitzi zeh zeh, right? So, what is the machloikis? So, the Gemara says, b'kois mishtar l'loiva, v'af al pisha ein mal v'imoy kemifli. They're arguing whether kois mishtar l'loiva, af al pisha ein mal v'imoy. Now, we just learned that. Halach, it's a Mishnah, top words of Kuf Samach Zayin Amid Beis. Kais fin shtar l'loiva, af al pishein mal v'ima. And the reason is, if the loiva wants to write a shtar that he owes somebody money, gzunta, hey, nobody's going to stop him. The malva's certainly not going to stop him, right? Zachin l'adam shleiv v'fanav, there's no reason this shouldn't be okay. Stating that you want to know where this could potentially lead to a disaster in the world of the Shnei Yosef and Shimon Hadarim Birachas. How so? Tana di don sa, but the Tana of our Mishnah holds kais fin shtar l'loiva, af al pishein mal v'ima. Right, l'shitasoy, the stam Mishnah kufayin Beis to the Stam Mishnah on Kuf Samich Zayin, and it's for that reason we're concerned. Zinden the Ozel Gabi Safra. Maybe Yosef and Shimon is going to go to the Sefer. Visahadi is going to bring Edim. Va'amalu is going to tell them kissfully Shtara. Please write a Shtar to be in the Lemeis of Yosef and Shimon. Right, oldest trick in the book. Do me a favor, write a Shtar. I want to be a loiva. Chvil bargain geld from Yosef and Shimon, and do me a favor, write a Shtar. Ubasa the Kasvi, and after the Sefer writes it, the Chasmi and the Edim signs it. Nikitale, he's going to take it. He's going to go over to Yosef and Shimon. Vavli is going to tell him, Havli Meir, the Yasvis Minoy. I don't know why he stopped by 100. Havli Meir, I would say, Havli Alfe River Voice. But the bottom line is going to say, the Bismichshul, the Gahindrita, right? I want you to give me the money. And it's for that reason you can't allow this to happen. Tana Boris, whereas the Tana, the price holds, Ain Kois Vishtal, Weva Achei Malvi Imoy. This doesn't work. I mean, that doesn't work. You don't have to worry about it. What's the point? The point is, the Gemara is arguing that the whole chashash of a Yosef and Shimon holding a shtar, where really he doesn't have a claim against the other Yosef and Shimon, is highly unlikely. Right? What's the chashash? Yosef and Shimon walks into Beis Din and he says, I have a shtar that says Yosef and Shimon borrowed money from me. Which means, I, Yosef and Shimon, are the malva, you, Yosef and Shimon, are the what? Ein goyven zemizeh. Why not? Because how do you know that that's really what happened? Maybe what happened was, this Yosef and Shimon is not a malva, he was a loiva. He had borrowed money, he paid back the loan, got the shtar in return, right? Ain't Koisvin Shriver. He got the shtar in return, and now he's making believe that he's owed money. Let's be honest. Would this malva Yosef and Shimon be such a fool and allow something like this to happen? He'd never give the loiva the shtar back that says that Yosef and Shimon owes money as proof of payment where he can turn around Toich Kidei Dibor and now collect money from him. It's not likely that would happen. And it's for that reason, if you're Yosef and Shimon, you're holding a shtar that says Yosef and Shimon owes you money, counterintuitively, it's the biggest rye in the world that you're the Malvi, he's the Loiva, and you should be able to collect. And that is really what the Tana of the Braisa holds. So what's Pshat in the Tana of the Mishnah? Oh, it's very simple, because Kaisar Shtar Loiva, Afal Bishayin Malvi Imay, and we're concerned for that. We're not concerned that he borrowed, paid back, and now he's going to try to collect as a malva. What we're concerned is for a kais from shtar l'loiva, afal pishein malvima. Why is the time of the price not worried about that? Because he holds that you don't say kais from shtar l'loiva, afal pishein malvima. So what's the machloikis, whether they could be goy v'zem yizeh, whether we say kais from shtar l'loiva, afal pishein malvima, or we don't say kais from shtar l'loiva, afal pishein malvima. So the bottom line is, as it relates to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Shnei Yosef and Shimon Adarim Berachas, really what we have is three shitas. The shita of the Mishnah is that they can't collect one from the other. They can't collect. Nobody can collect from them, but they can collect from others. The Tana of the Braisa on the top of Kufayin Gimel Amalaf. The first Braisa is that they can't collect one from the other. Nobody can collect from them, and they can't even collect from somebody else. And then you have this third Braisa that says just the opposite, that they can collect from others. They can collect one from the other. What this Braisa doesn't address is whether others would be able to collect from them. But the bottom line is, these are the three shittas as it relates to the Shnei Yosef and Shimon. And what are the machloikis in? Dvarim ma'umdim berumay shalayim. Chayshinim lenefila. Oy chayshinim lenefila. Oy sias nekdes b'mesira. Ein oy sias nekdes b'mesira. Oy sias nekdes b'mesira. Tzarech lavi raya. Ein tzarech lavi raya. Either way, we go weiter. So the Mishnah said, "Nimtzalecha ben shtarish." If somebody had amongst the shtarish al Yosef ben Shimon parua, shtarish neim paru. So the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah, the way we read the Mishnah twice, is that somebody has a shtar that says that one of the Yosef ben Shimons that owes me money already paid. In other words, he's a malva to both Yosef and Shimon's. But he has a shtar that says that one of the Yosef and Shimon's doesn't owe him money. Now, you can't collect from any one of the Yosef and Shimon's because maybe the Yosef and Shimon that you're going to collect from is the one that actually paid. So the Gemara asks a very obvious problem. Taima dinim, so it sounds like the only reason this guy can't collect is because he found this document that says that one of the Yosef and Shimon's paid him. Holoi nimtza matzi mapik. But if he wouldn't have this document, he'd be able to collect. Had his shtim with what the Mishnah said one line earlier. V'anan v'layacha yachaloi tzialein shnar choyv t'nan. Right, we said that you can never collect money from a Yosef and Shimon because maybe it's the other Yosef and Shimon. Meaning if you have two documents that say that Yosef and Shimon owes you money. Maybe it's the same Yosef and Shimon that owes you twice, and you'll never be able to collect from either one of the Yosef and Shimons, because you could always say, it's the other guy. By the way, we have to speak this out. Rashbam says the two Yosef and Shimons could always collaborate, right? They can come together, because one of these Yosef and Shimons are involved in these transactions, right? Where it benefits them to collaborate, they always have the option to collaborate. Right here, it doesn't benefit them, but where it does. But the point is that each one could always point to the other one. So if you can't collect even without having this document, so what's the Maila? Time of the Nimtza? Even like Nimtza, it's the same Allah. I'm Rabbi Yermia. So Rabbi Yermia said, Mishulashin. No, it's talking about where, in this case, the two shtaris were Mishulashin. So it didn't just say Yosef and Shimon. Right, one shtar said Yosef and Shimon ben Ruvain, and the other shtar said Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov. So being that it was different Mishulashin, so here, in terms of collecting, he was able to collect. But being that he has a document that one of the Yosef and Shimons paid up, so now he can't collect. But the Gemara says if the shtaris are Mishulashin, then presumably this document is also Mishulashin. So the Nechzi Tavra, right, we refer to this document as a Tavra, it's a receipt, it's not Mamish a receipt, but right, we use the word Tavra loosely in these sugis. Bishmadaman de Kasev. Let's see which one of the Yosef and Shimons, based on the Mishulashin, based on the Zaydis, is the one that paid. Am Rav Hoshias said, Bimishulashin Mishtam, Bimishulashin Mishayver. The shtaris were Mishulashin, that's what you'd be able to collect from the shtaris, but the Shayver wasn't Mishulash. Abaya said a different shot of this. Hachikam, you know what's going on over here? Nimtza Luloiva, Bain Shtarisnav, Shtarish Liyasim and Shimin, Alai Parua. The case was something else. The case was where there was a Loiva that had borrowed money from the two Yosef and Shimins, and he had a shoiver that said that shtarish al Yosef ben Shimon is parua. So none of the Yosef ben Shimons will be able to collect because shnei and peruim, because you could always say that I have a shoiver and this is the one that's parua. Meaning, even though the Tanya of the Mishnah holds that Yosef ben Shimon, even with his two Yosef ben Shimons, could collect from a loiva, right? That was the whole daf, but that is the shita of the Tanya of the Mishnah, that he could be Moitzi al Acherim, but if the Loiva has a Shoiver, he can always use the Shoiver. And even if there's two Shtaris, it doesn't matter, he could always use the Shoiver. Because at the end of the day, I could always say, need the Loiva, that I paid you, Vaharaya the Shoiver, I paid you, Vaharaya the Shoiver, and like this, I'll be able to get out of it. The Mishnah said, Kate said, Yasu, Yishaleshu, right? What do? You add the Zeta. Tana, we learned it, Abraisam, Hoish Neim Koyhanim, Yichtavu Doiris. Meaning, the Mishnah gave us eitzes that you should write the Zeda, if not, make a Simen, if not, write Koyin. So the Mishnah gave us a few options. The Braisa goes even further than that. Write all the Dairis. Right? Go back as many generations as you could. Seems to be obvious. But the bottom line is, this is what you're supposed to do. Exhale. Zok the Mishnah Vaita. Somebody tells his son, Shtar Bench the Roisai Perua. So this is a man who was lying on his deathbed. So says the Rashbam. And he tells his son that, you know, I have a lot of shtaris, a lot of people owed me money. And you're going to now have the right to go collect on these shtaris, but you should know, shtar ben shtaroisai, one of these shtaris that I have is already paid. I don't know which one it is. So this person was about to yarshin a book of debt that he already hired lawyers and collection agencies to try to go after. And then his father tells him about his debt, but you should know, one of these loans is already paid. I don't know which one. Kulon Peru, and he can't collect because he doesn't know which is which. And as a result, he can't collect anything. Nimtzo le'echod, sham, shnayim, hagadol perua, va'akotan ena perua. What would be if two of the loans are to the same person? So two of these loans are made out to the same guy. So then, memanav shach will be able to collect one of them, right? Because there's only one that's paid. So ordinarily, everyone can tie in, I'm the one that paid. But over here, the two to the one person, so only one of the two could be paid. And a chanami. So then this person will be able to collect, stating that, will be able to collect the lesser of the two. So there, hagadol perua, the hakotan ena perua, and the reason is because so I know one of these two is paid, so you want to collect the lesser of the two, that's something you can do, but the greater of the two, that's not something you'd be able to do. Amar Rava, Rava said, shtar l'cha biyodi perua. If somebody goes over to someone and he says, shtar l'cha biyodi, you have a shtar by me, and perua, it's paid. So hagadol perua, v'akotan ena perua. Assuming there were two shtars outstanding, we'll assume that the bigger one is paid, the katan is not. Choyv l'cha biyodi perua. Let's say he says, not shtar l'cha biyodi, but he says choyv l'cha biyodi, then shtar is kulam perua. We assume it's all paid. And the reason is, because the way we teach choyv l'cha, first Rashbam on the Gemara, mashma masha ato chayivli. The word choyv l'cha doesn't just, it means everything. So there, it's not just the bigger, the smaller, it's just the taitch of the word. Choyv l'cha means everything is paid. Amat le'i Ravina l'Rava. So Rava said this halacha. Okay. Seems like a very innocent halacha. Shtar l'cha b'yadi, perua, means one of the shtaris. Hence, we'll say the gadol is perua. Choyv l'cha b'yadi, perua, that means masha ato chayivli. So if there's 10 different outstanding items, everything is going to be perua. Up to Ravina tells Rava, el miyata ibazoi. If there's this nuance between shtar l'cha b'yadi and choyv l'cha b'yadi, so what about the following case? Sodai mechur l'cha. If somebody says to somebody that sodai mechur l'cha, I sold to you or I'm selling to you my field. G'doyla mechur l'cha. So it's the big one only that's going to be sold. Sodai sheyeshli mechur l'cha. Kolsodaisa mechur l'cha. Should we assume that if the person says that not sodai, but rather, sada sheyeshli, that would mean that all the fields are going to be included and they're all going to be mechurim. So there's some like deal that these chevra have that I'm selling you my sada. So if he says sada, so then we assume that it's the gedoyla. If he would say sada sheyeshli, should we assume that it's kol sadaisav? Now, why would you even assume this? Like, what sheikh? It's not even so easy to understand. Pashup shat. What Rav Vina is telling to Rava. But the tushtal is that just like Rava taicht, choyv l'cha b'yadi perua means mashat chayivli, there's a thought that in the same vein, there's some parallel tushtal, that sada sheyeshli would mean kol sadaisav. If choyv l'cha b'yadi means masha ato chayivli, then so too sada sheyeshli would mean kol sadaisav. And the background to this, says the Rashbam, is that you find the word sada can mean field, and you find the word sada can mean all properties. Rashbam says, like the pasuk says, stay edoin. It means all the properties. But the bottom line is, it doesn't seem like this is the halacha, and Ravina was questioning that, according to you, Rava, that choyv l'cha b'yadi means shtarois kulam peruin, then so too, why don't we say sada yeshli mechur l'cha, that kol sadoisav is mechurin? It's a similar sprach, they can both work. If choyv can mean mashat achayev, then sada can mean all my land. So the Gemara says it's different, and the reason it's different is because hasam yad bal ashtar ala tachtoin. And the way the Rashbam explains is that when Rava said that choyv l'cha b'yadi perua, shtar is kolam perua, he didn't mean the b'teres vaday, he only meant the b'teres safik. And being that he only meant the b'teres safik, so therefore, hamoitzim mechaveroi olav haraya, And it's for that reason I'm not going to be able to collect anything. It's misafik. It's not pateris vaday. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to collect. Because maybe you basically said that all of the chayvis, mashat chayavli, is already parua. So how are you going to be able to collect misafik? In the case where the moicher says, sada sheyesh nimchura lecha, even though there's some parallel to chayv lecha biyadi parua, but at the end of the day, over here, we're not going to assume kula mechurin. And the reason we're not going to assume kula mechurin, because again, all it is safik. And who's the muchzik over here? The moicher is the muchzik. Now, to take it away from the moicher. So where the malv is the one that says it, there everything is machal because the loiv is the mochzik. When the moicher is the one that says it, there, being that the moicher is the mochzik, so it's not going to play itself out. Meaning if this was a din b'teres vadai, so vadai is vadai, but it's not a din vadai. And that's really the Gemara's teretz. The Gemara's teretz is, and this is what Rav is telling Ravina, I didn't mean a b'teres vadai, I meant a b'teres sofik. I meant the Bateria Sufik, so then you always have to look at it as a regular Sufik moment. What's Sufik moment? When it comes to a Chayv, it's going to stay by the Loiva, therefore Kulan Perun. When it comes to a Mecher, it's going to stay by the Mecher, and that's why you're not going to say Kulan Mech. Either way, we're now going to change topics. This topic is going to be Malava us almost till the end of the Masechta, the next few Dafin. It's a real Bava topic. It's the sugya of Arev. So we're going to start the sugya right now, and we're going to continue into the next few dafim. So who's an Arev? An Arev is a co-signer, right? So somebody wants to borrow money from somebody, but the malv is a little bit nervous. He's not sure. Is he ever going to get payment on this loan? If somebody co-signs the loan, it could give the malv a certain comfort level. And then the malva will be comfortable lending the money. Now, to co-sign a loan is not just the chuk of a tlula, it's a real thing. And when somebody co-signs a loan, he obligates himself to now have to pay the loan. Now, when is he obligated to pay the loan? Like, at what point do we say that now the hischaivis of the arev kicks in? Meaning, the assumption is the loiva is first in the pecking order. If at some point the loiva can't pay, then you go to the arev. So the Shulchan Aruch of the arev is complex. And really, Exhibit A, the starting point, ground zero for the sugya of Arev, are these Gemaras tucked away here in the end of Periket Pashit. Now, just kedai to mention, we'll see this in the coming daf, and there's different types of Arevs. There's an Arev Kablin, then there's an Arev that makes a Kinyan, but we're just going to start very, very vanilla today, learn the Mishnah, make Aschol the Gemara, then speak out some Rev. Zok, the Hilga Mishnah. If somebody lends money to somebody, and it involved an arev, lo yipara min arev. He can't go collect from the arev. So what does that mean? He can never collect from the arev? So I'll give it away. What it means is that if the loiva has money, then you can't collect from the arev. But in real time, when the Gemara goes through the exercise, the Gemara is not even going to know for sure that that's what that means. Vim amale al menashe ephraim yimisha irtza. But let's say the malva stipulated, he said, listen, I'm lending you money. I know there's an arev. I'm only lending it to you on the condition that I can take payment from whoever I choose to take payment from. Oh, then you're from an arev. Then you can go to the arev. Shimon Gamliel loimer. Shimon Gamliel says, yesh nechasim lo loiva. In the event that the loiva has nechasim, benkach, lo yifam in arev, then you can never collect from the arev. What exactly Rav Shimon Gamliel means, the Gemara is going to discuss. V'chein hoy Rav Shimon Gamliel loim. Shimon Gamliel used to say. Now the words v'chein hoy Rav Shimon Gamliel loim means that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel used to also say, right? As if there's some hemshech, there's some continuation between the first thing that Rav Shimon Gamliel just said and the next thing that Rav Shimon Gamliel is about to say. But the truth is that that's not the case. There really is no connection between the two. It's just another thing that Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the world of Arev. So what was the second thing? Ha'arev le'ishne b'ksubasa. If somebody is an Arev on a ksuba. So a woman agreed to get married. She's entitled to a ksuba, but she said, I want somebody to co-sign the fact that I'm going to get ksuba in the event that the marriage is terminated. And the husband was about to give a get, and he had no money. So yadirena hana. The Arev should require that the husband make a neder that he won't have any hana from his wife. Why? Out of concern that maybe this man and woman, they were struggling for parnasa, and they sat together one day, and all of a sudden, boom, a light bulb went up. I have an idea. You know what the idea is? I'll give you a get. I have no money. You're going to collect the ksuba from the arev. It's a geshmak ksuba. Once we take the ksuba, I'll remarry you. I'll be machzir grushasai. We're going to get married again. The yikach, the yachzir v'yikach. And we're going to have money. All our problems are going to be solved. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you're an arev on a ksuba, preempt this and tell husband and wife, listen, you want to give a get? You want me to be chayv? make a neder, you're never going to have anah from each other. And by doing that, they won't be able to get married again. The Rashbam says it should be a hanah al das rabin, in a way where you can't be matarit and meferit, and like this, you'll be able to get a situation. Now, how's he going to force them to make this neder, right? He could just give the get, balkarchai of the isha, before Chemdra ben Ugashim, certainly balkarcha of the arev, and collect. So that's a little bit of a discussion, but again, for now, we're just learning the Mishnah. This was the second Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, says the Gemara. The Mishnah began, Hamalvas chaveri al yidei arev, lo yifram in the arev. My time, what's the reason? Now, Rashbam says, and we need this Rashbam to know Pashup Shan in the Gemara, that right now, the Havamina of the Gemara is that as long as the Lev is alive, that's the Vart, as long as the Lev is alive, La Yif from Min Ha'arev. The Arev's responsibility is if the Lev dies, or if the Lev runs away, he's a fugitive. But if the Lev is here, if he's Ba Lev Biraglov, if he's physically here in the room, La Yif from Min Ha'arev, the Arev is off the hook, right? It's not the MS, right? What's the MS? What we spoke at in the Mishnah. La Yifram in Arev means if the Loiva has money. But Kasol Gadaitach, that's not what it means. It means if the Loiva is physically here, then La Yifram in Arev. So the question is why? Like, what's that all about? So Rabbi Rav Yosef to Amri Travayos, Rabbi Rav Yosef both explained this mistaken Havon in the Mishnah, that Gavra Ashlimusli, Gavra Ashlimilach. Because what the person can say is that when I was in Arev, let me tell you what I was mechayiv myself to do, to make sure that the loiv is going to be here to pay it. And if not, I'll write you a check. Interesting. It's not what Arva says. Again, this is all a mistake. But in the Hava, I mean, Kasol Kadaitach, that my responsibility is that I will shteltsu the loiva. Gavra shlimusli, you kilu gave me the gavra. Gavra yashlimiloch, I'm returning the gavra. And as long as he's here, I'm not obligated to pay. But Maskeflor, Rav Nachman, heard all this, and he said, Hay dina de parsoi. This sounds like the way the Persians rule in their courts. And Mar says, Adarabba, you want to know what the Persians do? Basa arva azli. By the Persians, the malva looks around, and he says, who's the easiest guy for me to collect from? And if the arev is easier to collect from the loiva, he goes straight to the arev. This gives the arev more rights. The way the Parsoim work is they give the Arev less rights. Elo, Rav Nachman says, you're right, it's not what I meant. What I meant to say was, Beidina de Parsoi, you're behaving as if you're a Persian court in the sense, Lo Yavi, time of the Messiah. Because what you're saying is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. That the idea of an Arev is to make sure that the Loiva is alive. That's not what it means. Okay, so what does the Mishnah mean? It's a Mishnah. Ma'avos chaver al yidei arev. Lo yifram in arev means something. Elam Rav Nachman. What it means is lo yifram in arev. Lo yitva arev tchili. You can't go first to the arev. First you go to the leiv. If the leiv can't pay, that's when you go to the arev. Tanya nami hachi. It's a mafurish b'raisa. Ma'avos chaver al yidei arev. Lo yitva arev tchila. You can't go first to the arev. Vim amar al menashe efrim. Yisha eretz yitva arev tchila. Then you could go to the arev. Which, by the way, that Tanya Nami Yochi is the beginning of our Mishnah, albeit with a little bit more Hasbara, which is what the Brice always does, right? Hamalvas Chavei Al Yidei Arev, Lo Yifram In Arev, Vim Amr Al Menashe Efrim Misha Eretz Yifram In Arev. That's the Mishnah. A little bit ambiguous. What did the Brice say? Hamalvas Chavei Al Yidei Arev, not Lo Yitva Min Arev, but Lo Yitva Arev Tchila. Oh, that's the extra Hasbara that you get from Brices that you don't get from Mishnayis, Talmud Bavli 101. Vim Amr Al Menashe Efrim Misha Eretz Yitva Arev Tchila. Right, again. Then already, not Yifram in Arev, but Yitva Arev Tchila. That's the difference. In the Mishnah, it said Yifram in Arev. In the Brice, it said Yitva Arev Tchila. Yitva Arev Tchila is a lot more explanatory than Yifram in Arev. What's the Raya? Because Yifram in Arev, you have a machlok, is what it means. Rav Yosef said one way, Rav Nachman said the other way. If it says Yitva Arev Tchila, that's Mefurish one way, which was the way Rav Nachman explained it, which was the Tanya Nami Hachi. Amar Rav Huna said, I'm just going to start this next Gemara and Be'ezer HaShem pick it up in the next half. Mishtabed. Well, how do you know that an Arev is Mishtabed? Meaning, what's the source to this whole idea of Arvas? And again, we'll talk about this more in the next half, but the background to this question is that what did the Arev do to obligate himself to be an Arev? Right? He said, No, that's Dvarim Ba'alma. Midva Shaker Terchak, right? That's a different Shulchan Aruch. What did he do? Ordinarily, the only way you could be Mechayev me something is if you make a Kenyan. The Arev didn't make a Kenyan. Classic Arev does not make a Kenyan. So if he didn't make a Kenyan, that's not what it is. A Loiva, by the way, is obligated to pay back a loan, even if there was no Kenyan based on the fact that he received money. There's a Mamayni Gabach. Mamayni Gabach is Mechayev. Shibud, etc. The parish of Halva. He didn't borrow money either. He didn't make a kinyan. He didn't borrow money. So, like, what's going on over here? There has to be a source, epis amokir, to this idea of arvos. So Rav Huna said, minayin la'ariv de mishtabe d'chsiv. You know what the answer is? Chumash Torah. Because the pasuk says, anoichi ervenu, miyodi tivakshenu. Who said this? Yehuda said this to his father, Yaakov Avinu. So the context is, we're the brothers, they go to Egypt because there was a terrible, terrible hunger in Eretz Canaan, all over the world, and they needed food, and the only place where there was food was in Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik sees his brothers come, he recognizes them, and he starts playing this game so that the Chaloimis can play themselves out, and he says, I need to see this little brother, Binyamin, who you were telling me about, and unless you bring Binyamin, you guys are all in big trouble, because I think Meraglamatim, I think you're trying to overthrow this entire Malchus, and you're going to have great problems. So the brothers go back, and they tell Yaakov what's going on, and Yaakov says, no way. He says, I already lost Yosef, you're not getting Binyamin. You're not getting Binyamin. So Yehuda comes, and Yehuda says, Anoichi ervenu, miyodi tikvakshenu, I'm willing to be an Arif. I'll be mekabel arvas. So what do you see from here? You see from here that there's an idea of an Arif. Maskev lo Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, ha kablonosi. But that wasn't your classic arvas. That was actually kablonos. How do you know it's kablonos? Dechsiv. Because the pasuk says, read the whole pasuk. Vayomer Ruvein el Aviv lemar, Eshnei banai tomnis, Im lo yavienu eilecha, Tuna oisai al yodi, Vani achivenu eilecha. And from that pasuk, you see, it was kablonis. Now, just to be clear, the difference between an Arav and a kablon, we don't even know yet. The Rashbam says, wait till tomorrow's daf. So if the Rashbam says, wait till tomorrow's daf, we can wait till tomorrow's daf. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll have a better idea of what the difference is between an Arav and a Kavlan. But for now, what we need to know is that an Arav is a softer commitment, a Kavlan is a stronger commitment. And the Gemara is tiny that from Reuven's words, Vayoyme Reuven al Aviv Lemer, Eshnei Banai Thomas, Im lo yavienu eilecha, T'no oisoy al yodi. That's the punchline. Vani ashivenu eilecha, that's the nusach of a Kavlan, not the nusach of an Arav. So the Gemara's kash is that even if you want to tell me that you have a raya to Arvus, the only thing you would have a raya is for the more aggressive type of Kabbalah, which is the Kablan, but not for the less aggressive Kabbalah. Now the truth is, let's just hit the pause button for a half a second. And that is that the Gemara said, I have a raya from Yehuda to the idea of Arvus. Anoichi arvenu miyadi tivakshen. Says the Gemara, maybe he was a Kablan. You know how I know he was a Kablan? From Reuven. Now first of all, what was Yehuda and Reuven? So let's just learn a little Chumash. What happened was, when they came back the first time, the brothers, and they said that this guy, this viceroy of Egypt, is being very difficult. And, you know, we slipped and we told him that we have a younger brother and he's not willing to give us any money unless we bring this brother. So the first one that jumped up was Reuven. And Reuven tells Yaakov, he says, listen, I know you're afraid. He says, if I can't bring back Binyamin, my two sons, he was mekallel himself, Shaddai. Rashi says, right? Banecha, v'loi banai. But the bottom line, this is what Reuven tells him. He tells him, Eshnei banai tamas. But Yaakov wasn't moved by it. He wasn't persuaded. That's why several psukim later, Yehuda now comes. And he says, Anoichi ervenu, miyodai tevakshenu. And what did Yehuda give up? He gave up his Olam Haba, Chazal said. It's Gemara Makis, Taf Yudam and Aleph. Right, that's why all the years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, Atzmoysov shal Yehuda, we megulgalim ba'arayin, until Moshe Rabbeinu Davin, Yechi Reuven v'al Yomois, v'zoysel Yehuda. Right, everyone knows these Chazals. But the bottom line is, first Reuven, then Yehuda. Now the Gemara said, what's the Makar? The Makar is from Yehuda. Frank, the Gemara, maybe it was a Kablan. And you know where I see that maybe it was a Kablan? Because Reuven was talking like a Kablan. Okay, the Raya wasn't from Reuven, the Raya was from Yehuda. My Inyan Reuven Eitzel Yehuda. Which is the Gemara's Kashi. Chi Reuven Vezoisel Yehuda. But here you have it also. My Inyan Reuven Eitzel Yehuda. Like, what's going on over here? I don't, what Shaykh is? Reuven is a Kablan, Obi Yehuda is an Arev. So the Marsha says, Pashup Shan in the Gemara. Reuven tried and he failed. So now Yehuda's coming for a take-two. If Yehuda's going to offer Yaakov less than Reuven offered, it's probably not going to work, right? If anything, he has to do more. He did do more. He said, I give you I'm forfeiting my Olam Haba. I'm forfeiting my Olam Haba if I get this wrong. I am telling you now, I have this. Give it to me. Let me do this. and I put everything I say. But it can't be that his Kabbalah was less than Reuven. So if Reuven's Kabbalah was the Kabbalah of a Kaplan, then it's Mukhach that Yehuda's Kabbalah must have been the Kabbalah of a Kaplan as well. But either way, that's the Gemara's Kasha. You see from here, maybe Kaplan. But where do you see from here, Arev? So the Gemara says, Elam Rabbi Yitzchak, you're right. Mihacha the Makaris, from a different Pasuk. It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. It says, Lekach Bigdoi. Take his beged, ki orav zar, uva adnoch riach avleyo. But the bottom line is, what do you see from the first part of the pasuk? You see, the kach bigdai ki orav zar. So you see from Shlomo HaMelech's pasuk in Mishlei, va'oimer, there's another pasuk that suggests this as well. And this pasuk is also in Mishlei. It says, b'ni, imaravta l'reyecho, tokat l'zar kapecho. If you were an Ari, Nakashta b'imrei ficha, Nakadat b'imrei ficha, say so, it's efe, b'ni v'inotzel, ki vasa b'kafra yecho, lechis rapes, urahav reyecho. What does this all mean? So let's see it inside. B'ni emaraf l'reyecho, takat luzar kapech, nekash b'mreificho, nechadet b'mreificho. Hazeso is eifoi b'ni v'notzel kivasa b'kach reyecho, leich, hisrap, hisrap reyecho. Imam en yeshloi, what the pasuk is saying is like this. Imaraf l'reyecho, takato luzar kapecho. Meaning if you borrowed money from somebody, or you were mekabel arvos in this case, and you owe this person money, and you didn't do it, so the end of the pasuk is, leich, Hisrapes urahav reyecho, meaning hater loy pisas yad. So hisrapes urahav reyecho means hater loy pisas yad. Hisrapes, open up your wallet and give him the money that you owe him. Ve'imlav, and if not, if the avera that you did was the next part of the pasuk, noykashte b'imrei ficho nilkadete b'imrei ficho, meaning you said something you weren't supposed to say, so then you don't owe money. So what you should do is you should try to get a mechila out of him. So hirba olav rei and bring, send friends over, send people over, try to get a mechila. So again, this was a little confusing. The pasuk discusses someone who ba'avled somebody in one of two ways. B'ni imaravta l'reyecho takat l'zar kapecho, he ba'avled him with money. Nekashte b'mreificho, nekadet b'mreificho, he ba'avled him with words. The end of the pasuk is, asei zois eifoi b'ni v'hinotza. So what should you do to get out of the situation? Kivosa b'kaf reyecho leich hisrapes. As it relates to the money that you owe him, hisrapes, what does that mean? It means that you should go and give him money. The next part of it is Rahav Reyecha, as it relates to what it is that you said, then Rahav Reyecha means you should be here by Olive Rain. But again, you see over here the idea of Arvus B'ni Imarafto L'Reyecha. So you see it from Yehuda, but Yehuda, you only see Kablon. You don't see your classic Arif. Anoichi Erven of Yadit Vakshenu was like by Reuven. It was a Kabbalah of Arif Kablon, not your classic Arif, but there's these two psukim in Mishlei that you see it. In the beginning of the next stuff, we're going to get into some of the more lumdashim makaris of how it is you know that this is an idea of Arif, but we are going to stop here. So just to end with one ha'ara, it's from the Hilgich Sam Sofer. It's a classic, Ben Benoishel classic, and it actually relates to this week's parsha. And that is the Sam Sofer in his drushes, and this is in one of the Ches Tevois drushes. If you have the old drushes Chassam Sofer, so it's Daf Pei Vav Tor Beis. If you have the new drushes Chassam Sofer, it's Drush Yud Gimel. So the Chassam Sofer asked, he says, I don't understand. The brothers go to Yosef in Parshas Miketz, and they ask Yosef for food. He came from Egypt, the whole world is coming to Yosef Atzadi. Everyone's trying to get food, and they're lining up like everybody else. They're trying to get food. And Yosef starts playing some hardball with them. He starts getting a little bit suspicious. He says, tell me a little bit more about yourselves. I don't know. I don't like what I'm seeing over here. And he tells him, you know, we were 12 brothers. One of them died. We have a little brother who's back at home, but it's the 10 of us here. And we're here. And Yosef says, I don't know, for some reason, I feel like there's some espionage going on over here. This is some covert intelligence mission. I'm getting very, very uneasy. He says, I'm telling you, that's not what it is. This is who we are. We're innocent chevra. We live in Canaan. We came here like everybody else because we don't have any. He says, you know what? I want you to prove it to me. He says, sure. What would you like us to do? He says, you claim you have a little brother. Go bring this little brother. And if you bring him, they look at each other. They know that this is not really going to work. But listen, if this is what he wants, this is what he wants. First, if you go through the psukim in even greater detail, puts them in jail, then only Reuven. The bottom line is, they realize the only Eitzah that we have over here is we're going to have to bring Binyamin. So the brothers go back, and they come to Yaakov, and Yaakov says, no, what happened? He says, listen, the only way this is going to play out is if we bring Binyamin. Now, in the meantime, he had sent food with them, right? But he had Reuven as a mashkin, and he says, the only way, Shimon. And he said, the only way that this is going to play itself out is if we're able to come back and we're able to bring Binyamin. Yaakov says, no way I'm giving you Binyamin. I already lost Yosef. I'm not giving you Binyamin. So Reuven stands up and Reuven tells his father, he says, Tata, he says, I'm telling you right now, you have nothing to worry about. I'm taking full achrayas. I promise you, but Yaakov, listen, it didn't matter. So then Yehuda comes, and Yehuda says, Anoichi ervenu, miyodi tibakshenu, imloi havi yosef eilecho, veitzaktiv lefonecha, vechatosi lechakol, ayomim kol, rabbis, afilu oilam haba, I'll give you everything. And finally, Yaakov, you know, had no choice, and he agreed, and he sends Binyamin, and of course, as they say, the rest is history. Freak the Heiligach Sam Sofer. Says, I don't understand. Reuven, evarvtzach azoy mit the kinder? Es Schnee Bonai Thomas, Yehuda, warft sich mit der Olam Haba, v'chatosi l'chakal ayomim, says what, Reuven's sons were so billig by him? Yehuda, he's willing to forfeit his old Olam Haba? Maybe he wasn't going to come back with Binyamin. How did he know it was going to play itself out? Where did this confidence come from? Azoy freitach sam soifer, says, I don't understand the confidence that Reuven and Yehuda had. You want to tell your father, please, I promise you, I'm going to try my best. Shnei Bonai Thomas. Sounds like Reuven was very sure. V'chotosi l'chakol ayomim. Right? Yehuda shtickle put his foot in his mouth. He goes, all the years in the Midbar, right? Hayatzmois and the Gugolim Barin. Nechatesi. How did they know to go ahead and do this? So the Chasam Sofer Kedarkei BaKodesh says a dover nifla. He says that in this week's parsha, in parshas Vayishlach, so Yaakov Avinu is preparing himself for his big encounter together with Esav. And the pasuk says Vayachatz Esav Asher Itoy, that he went, did Yaakov, and he divided the Am that was with him. Vesatzoyim, Vesabokor, Vehagmalim, Vishnei Machanois. He created two Machanois. Vayomer, he said, Im Yovai Esav Ela Machane Ha'achas Vehikou, Vahoya Machanisha Lefleta. Right? It made perfect sense. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. He diversified a little bit. So Vayachat says, Om Asheritoy, he said like this, if Esav attacks us from the north and we lose, but nu vaya machna nichshel afleit, at the very least there'll be Yidden living in the south and they're going to be saved. The Rabban in his Pirish on this pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu said vaya machna nichshel afleit, Omar ze beulai, I mean, he didn't know for sure that the Machna Nisha was going to be Lefleta. He said, hopefully. Ki Omar Ula Yinotzel HaMachna HaEchad. Ki Be'akoyse HaEchad Yivruchu HaAcherim. He was hoping that that's the way it was going to play itself out. I mean, Yaakov says with confidence, V'hoya Machna Nisha Lefleta. Says, Rambam, I don't think he was so confident. He said it B'Teiles Ulai. Ki Omar Ula Yinotzel HaMachna HaEchad. But stating that, says the Ramban, if you take a look at Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, V'hoya machna nishal afleita al korcho. This is for sure the way it's going to play itself out. Says the Ramban, how did Rashi know that? Al derech apshat, if you're going to learn, oynik pshutay shal mikra in the pasuk, I don't think that's what Yaakov's saying. So how does Rashi know that when Yaakov Avinu said, V'hoya machna nishal afleita, what he meant was al korcho? Zog the Ramban, Vakavona Bozer, Ki Yaakov Yodea, because Yaakov knew, She'ein Zaroi Kuloi Noifel B'Yad Esav, that it is impossible that all of his children would fall in the hands of Esav. Im Kain, if that's the case, what's going to happen? Im Yovai Esav El HaMachina Achaz Vihiko, Bal Korchoi, V'hoya Machina Nisha Lefleto, Yinotzel HaMachina Echad Al Koponim. It's guaranteed, this is the way it has to be. Rashi said Al Korchoi, because it was based on a mistake that Yaakov Avinu had. Ki Yaakov Yodeya, Shein Zaroi Kuloi Noifel B'Yad Esav. The Heiligach Sam Sofer said that this Haftacha, this Mesoira that Yaakov Avinu had, Ki Yaakov Yodeya, Shein Zaroi Kuloi Noifel B'Yad Esav, it wasn't only Esav, but it's true Bechlal. Yaakov Avinu knew that all his children could never be hurt. Some of them, yeah, but all of them never. It is impossible that Zaroi Kuloi would be Noifel B'Yad Esav will be anybody. There's a haftacha of a hoya machane hanisha lefleta. So the Chasam Sofer says that Reuven and Yehuda and the Shvatim, they were sitting and they made a cheshbon. They said like this. They said that we're in Mitzrayim now. This guy, I don't know who he is chepping with us. We're worried that he might be successful. I wonder, he's going to wipe out 10 Shvatim? How could you wipe out 10 Shvatim? Yeah, because there's Vahoya Machna Nishal Afleta. Because Binyamin is back home with his father. And if Binyamin is with his father, Binyamin will be saved. And if that's the case, Klal Yisrael will go on, and it's going to happen through Zarei Shel Yaakov, but which one of his children? Through Binyamin. So he said, you know, there's only one Eitz in the world. You know what the Eitz is? Let's get Binyamin along. Because if we have Binyamin, then we're all there. If we're all there and we're together, he won't be able to chapel with us. You know why? Because it's impossible. Ki Yaakov Yodeya, Shein Zarei Kulei Noifel B'yad Esav, even B'yad Yosef, says the Chasam Sofer. It's impossible. It is impossible. As long as Binyamin's not there, they will worried. Because maybe the Binyamin is going to be the Vahoya Machna Nishal Afleta. But if Binyamin comes with us, then we're fine. And that's where the confidence came from. You want to know where the confidence came from? Reuven says, Shnei Banai Thomas. Yehuda says, V'chatosi l'chakal ayomim. It's because they knew that if Binyamin's with them, there's a haftacha. This Ramban in this week's parasha. Ki Yaakov Yodea Shein Zarei Kulei Noifel B'yad Esav. And this is where their haftacha came from. So the Chasam Sofer goes Vayit, the Kedarka Bakoidish, and he says a few aras. I'm just going to mention two, very briefly. He says, Ve'en Rochik, Liyashiv Kushyas Toysis, Vemesachtis Tainis, Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. Listen to this brilliance. Everybody knows that Yoicheved was Nol Debein HaChoymois, right? If you count up the Jews, there's 69, but the Pasuk says it's 70. So Rashi brings Divrei Chazal that it was Yoicheved, she's the 70th. We just had it recently in Yeshnoichlin, and she was Nol Debein HaChoymois. Tois asks Akasha that if Yoicheved was Nol Debein HaChoymois, and this Toysis is in Tainis Yud Aleph Amir Aleph, that means when was Yoicheved conceived? 7 months earlier, 9 months earlier, right? During the time earlier. Now this all happened during a hunger. It all happened during a Rav. And we know that it's also to be Meshamish Mita during Shnei Ra'avayim. It's a freak Tosfos Akasha that I don't understand. How is Yocheved Nol Debein HaChoymois? That means that Levi, Yocheved's father, was Meshamish Bintasai B'Shnei Ra'avayim. How is it possible? This is a great Akasha. Tosfos asks it. Rishonim asks it. Beis Yosef talks about this. There's halachic implications. This is one of the great Chumash Kashas. It's a Tosfos and Chas that how is Levi able to be Meshamish Mitasai B'Shnei Ra'avayim? Listen to the words of the Chasam Sofer. Nearly. Shem Nisho Shenichbala Tzara. I believe that at the time that it was Nichbala Tzara, for Hutz when the Yidden were told that Binyamin had to go, at that point they had confidence that Yeshua was going to come. Because as long as Binyamin's not there, but now that Binyamin is going, so you know what that means? That means he can't be gechepet with. And if they can't be gechepet, that day became a day of simcha. And on that day, you have to be the Chasam Sofer to talk like this. Levi was Mishamish Mitasai, Vinoldo Yoicheved, Eim Habonim, Hagoyalim, Moshe Aaron and Miriam. And Taka the Yeshua came. That day when it's they chab, your Binyamin has to go. And Yaakov is, what's going to be with my Binyamin? Oh, but the Shvatim understood that no. From the fact that even Binyamin is there, this is the grace to Yeshua. Because now you don't have the Binyamin. So they made that day a Yom Simcha. And Levi was Meshamesh Mitasai. And who was born? Aim Habonim Hagoyalim, the mother of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, which was where everything in the Gantz to Yeshua, where everything was going to come from. And the Chasam Sofer then goes, and he says, "Me inyan le inyan ba'us inyan." And it's a big digression here in this drasha, but it's so nifladik, where he says that this is a klal in general. And that is that whenever the matzav seems so bleak, whenever the situation comes to the point where it seems like it's rock bottom, it's dafka at that point that really you should be besimcha. Because you know there's nowhere to go but up, right? But b'chlal, there's like a haftocha. When the situation seems so low, that's when you know that everything's going to be okay. The Chasam Sofer brings a pshat. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Madloi Nemar Nun Ba'ashrei. Why doesn't it say Nun Ba'ashrei? Mipnei Sheyesh Ba Ma'palosin Shal Soyni Yisrael. Dechsib Nafla Loi Soysev Kun Besulas Yisrael. Pasuk in Amos, the Navi said, Klai Yisrael's going to fall and that Klai Yisrael's never going to get up. And being that that pasuk starts with the letter Nun, so Nun is Ma'palosin Shal Soyne Yisrael, so it's for that reason Rabbi Yochanan said it doesn't say Nun in Ashrei. Ashrei is Aleph base, but it skips one letter. It skips Nun. B'marav, and then the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael, Matarzi Lahachi. This is the way they used to teach this pasuk. They had a Chassidish teach in the pasuk. They would say Nafla, not Lois Soisif Kum B'suas Yisrael, but Nafla for Lois Soisif Limpar. Nafla when Klai Yisrael falls, it's never going to fall again. Faker Kum B'suas Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is going to stand up. This teich. Then the Gemara says, "Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchak filu hachi chazad David samchem baruch hakodesh." Right, even though it doesn't say nun ba'ashrei, but David Hamelach was samchem baruch hakodesh because it says doesn't say nun, but what does it say by samach? Soimech Hashem l'chol noiflim. He preempted it. This is the first Rav Nachman by Yitzchak mentioned in Shas. This is the epic shtickle that we once spoke out from the tzaddik Rabbi Shemaya Morgenstern, who said that just like the Svarim Hakdoshim say that the first time a word is mentioned, it has in it the full toichen and essence of that word. The first time a Tanur and Amir is mentioned in Shas, you get to know the toichen and the essence of that person. Reb Nachman by Yitzchak's first member in Shas is Afilu Hachi Chazar David Samchem Baruch HaKadosh Soimech Hashem L'chol Noiflim. And that's why Reb Nachman by Yitzchak is always giving chizik, and that's the Indian as Mibagegin Zich with Reb Nachman by Yitzchak that's brought down from the Rebbe from Lublin. A whole Reidban on this, not for now. But the bottom line is, in my Rava they used to teach the Pasuk Nafla and the Chassam Sofer said, what's Pasha Pshat in this? So he said he heard a Pshat. That the Pshat is Nafla. If a person falls, and Loisosif, and he can't fall anymore, when a person falls so low, there's only one way to go, and that is up. And that's the Kum B'Suas Yisrael. That's the Oimik. Truth is, this Vart comes already from the Goyin. The Goyin in Aderes Elio says this. And he says it's almost Muchach the Pshat, because Nafla, Lois Soisef Limpal, if you didn't get up, so obviously Lois Soisef Limpal. The Goyin says it's an Aderes Elyon, Parshas Hazino. Either way, this is the Vart that the Chassam Sofer said, that when a person falls, he can fall sometimes so low that you know for sure there's only one place to go from here. The only place to go from here is up. He says, maybe that's Pshat. You know, we know that we fast on the day that Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, right? Same Gedalia. And the Gemara says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Lamed, you know what this comes to teach us? Right, Misa Sadikim is like Freitach Sam Sofer, and I think this kasha is a very, very obvious kasha if you're in tune to some of the history that went on in that time. Right, Gedalia ben Achikam's death was the nail in the coffin, so to speak, of Churban Bayis Rishon. Right, because even after the Churban, there was still a Yishuv of Yidden that were living in Eretz Yisrael. And Gedalia ben Achikam was the leader of that Yishuv. And as soon as he was killed, it all came to an end. So the Chassam Sofer asks such a posh at the kasha. He says, the reason we fast for Gedalia ben Achikam is because Mises Sadikim is like Sreifas Beis Alikenu. Who said it has anything to do with the Mises Sadikim Shabbat? It's because this was the nail in the coffin. This is the end of the Churban. So of course that's why you fast. You fast because it's all over now. No, it's just the opposite. The fact that it's all over is not a reason to fast. The fact that it's all over is a reason to celebrate. When the Yidden reached rock bottom in Mitzrayim, Levi was Meshamash Mitosai, and Yecheved was born. Aim Habonim, the mother of the Mashiach and Shal Yisrael. Why? Because if you're so low, there's only one place to go, and that's Kum B'Suas Yisrael. He says, must be the reason we fast Soim Gedalia is for something else. It's because it's Misa Sadikim. Ulametcha, Sheshkulam Misa Sadikim, Kisreifas Beis Alikenu. What do you mean? The Pashup Pshat, of course, every Pshutei Shal Mikra person will tell you. The reason we fast for Soim Gedalia is because that was the end. Soptech Sam Soifa Chazala being Megala to you. There is no such thing as the end. Klai Yisrael can't be wiped out. And because Klai Yisrael can't be wiped out, that couldn't have been the reason. Faket, that's a reason to celebrate. When things are so bad, it's a cause for celebration. Why then do we fast? Oh, must be because it's Misa Sadikim. And Misa Sadikim must be on the level of Sreifas Beis Alikenu. He says one last thing, we're going to end with this. And he says, what's Exhibit A for this? Right, if somebody asks you, what's Exhibit A for this idea? That if you see a situation that's so bad, that's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to celebrate. It's a reason to be metzachik, giving it away. It's the last Gemara of a Masechta, right? It's the last Gemara of Masechtas Makis. The Gemara says, Shuv pa machas, listen to this teich. Hoya oilun Yerushalayim, ein beis medrash b'lei chedesh. Once upon a time, the Gedolei HaTanan, they were Oilun Yerushalayim. They came to Harat Soifin, Mount Scopus, Karu Big Day, and they tore their clothing. When they came to Harabayas, Ro Shual Sheyotzimi Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. They saw a Shual that left from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as soon as they saw that, Those Chachamim. Who were the Chachamim? It was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It was Rabbi Yeshua. It was Rabbi Gamliel. They all started to cry. But Rabbi Akiva, who was with them, he started to laugh. So Rabbi Akiva looks at them and he says, did something just happen? Did I miss something? Like, why are you crying? They told him, Makim Shakasuv Bai, the Azara Karev Yumas, the Akshav Shualim Hilchu Bai Valay Nifke. We're at a place where a czar, you could be the Gadol Adar, but you couldn't go there. You were Chayiv Misa if you went there. And now I see a fax that's coming from that place. How can we not cry? He says, that's exactly why I'm laughing. He said, because there were two nevuas. There was a nevuah that Zechariah said, and there was a nevuah that was said by Uriah. And the Navi seems to juxtapose the two nevuas, and it's not clear what the juxtaposition is. He says, let me tell you what the oimik is. Uriah said, he said that the churban is going to come to a point where it's going to be so bad. He says that the Makam HaMikdash will be plowed the way people plowed a field. Zechariah said, Oyesh v'skenim v'skenes b'rechoyves Yerushalayim. V'ish m'shantay b'yodim y'rev yomim. U'rechoyves ha'ir y'molu y'lodim v'lodos m'sachakim b'rechoyves ha'. He said, we had a Nevuah that talks about how low we're going to fall. There was a Nevuah that talks about how great we're going to fall. So Rabbi Akiva turns and he said, actually, Niskayim Nevuah Shal Uriah. Until Uriah's Nevuah was Niskayim, Hayisi Misyori, I was worried, Shemalei Tiskayim, Nevuah Shal Zechariah. Maybe Zechariah's Nevuah will never happen. But now that I see Uriah's Nevuah was Niskayim, Biyodua, now I know for a fact, so I look at the Makam HaMikdash, I see the Shul Yoytzer from the Kodesh HaKodashim. And you know what my hergish is? Oid yesh v'uskenem uskenes b'rchoyves Yerushalayim. He says, no, that's why I'm laughing. Now please explain to me why you're crying. It was with these words. It was with these words that they responded to me. They said, Akiva nichamtanu. Akiva nichamtanu. Sedech Samsoifu, what's the oimek? The oimek is because when the situation gets so bad, when something hits so rock bottom, it's a time for celebration. Because you know that the Yeshua is going to come. When there's Vahaya Machna Nishal Afleita, that's when you don't know. But when Binyamin is also taken into captivity, when the situation is to the point where Fakert, where even Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed. So now you know there's going to be a Gula. At this point, you know there's only one place to go, Kum Besulis Yisrael. And when Rabbi Akiva saw what had taken place, so what did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva left because he was able to see in the captivity of Binyamin, so to speak. So the Chasam Sofer in this drasha, he touched. He said at the end of Eicha, this is how we're going to end. It says, Al ze hoye doveli beinu, al eilo choshchu einenu, al hart siyoin sheshomein, shualim hilchuboy, ata Hashem lo oilom teshev, kisachal adar vadar. So the Chasam Sofer says that what we say in Eicha is, Al ze hoye doveli beinu, al eilo choshchu einenu. The Yidden look at the golos and all the tzaras that they've had, and they say we cry over it. The heart stood very. Al ze hoye doveli beinu, al eilo choshchu einenu. The Eugen's and in Finster. But then we go right and we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Hart Zion Sheshome. Says, Hart Zion is empty. Shualim Hilchubai. The fox has already emerged from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We've hit rock bottom. What happens when you hit rock bottom? What's supposed to happen? It's supposed to be Oideyesh Vuskeinim Vuskeinois Berchoyves Yerushalayim. It's time already. Isn't that what Rabbi Akiva taught us? Isn't that what the Chasam Sofer taught us in this drasha? That when a person falls, that you can't fall furthest, and now you have to go up. But what do we say? Ato Hashem. But yet we look around. You know what we see? That you are Kadosh Baruch Hu La'olam Teshev. You are Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're sitting. You're sitting. Oh, but the skenim and the skenois b'chovetz Yerushalayim, they're not sitting. It's Ato Hashem La'olam Teshev. But you promised Oid Yeshu that we're going to sit. What happened to that haftacha? Yeah, kisacho is l'dor v'dor. We know that. Of course, ato Hashem la'olam teishin. But what happened to the haftacha of a yeshvu skenem uskenas? That was the hergish of Chasam Sofer. That's what we say. We say, al zeh ha'yodav li'beinu al eilu chashko inenu. It's so bad. It's worse than bad. Al hartzi en shashamim shu'alim hilchu boy. It's rock bottom. It's mamish. It's not negay anymore. And if that's the case, Rabbi Akiva mitzachek. And the Chachamim were moida. They said, Akiva michamtonu, Akiva nichantanu. And if that's the case, what's supposed to be? We should be sitting. It should be oydeyeshvu skenim uskenes berchavis Yerushalayim. It should be v'isham mishante biyadim yirav yamim urchavis ha'ir yimalu yiladim v'yiladais mesachakim berchavis ha'ir. But we haven't been zoicha to that yet. You know what we have? We have is ata Hashem lo'ilom teyeshev. That's not shayach. That's not what the promise was. And that's the way we end. Lomalon netzach tishkochenu tazvenu le'erich yomim hashivenu Hashem eylecha v'nashuva chadish yomenu kekedem v'shetaka b'zoicha ta'oid yeshvu uskenim uskenois b'chovois Yerushalayim misha oma lo'oilom oidai yoyim eletzare seinu dai v'shibizoicha t'bias goyot tzedek m'her b'yomenu amen.